We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How we doing? I just realized this may put my good friend and radio partner Tiki Barber in a tough spot, but screw it. I don't really care. No offense. And that is, you are now going to be drawn in to criticizing your... Oh, wait a second. No, he's on Fox. Forget it. You're in no tough spot.
Okay.
I was going to say it's going to be very difficult for Tiki Barber to criticize his coworker Tom Brady. But then I remember, Tom Brady's with Fox. He's not
good
with
luck.
CBS.
You're dead to me.
All right.
But... there is a conspiracy, and I don't even think it's really a conspiracy theory, that we need to explain to the audience, because I think it proves undeniably what I've always known about Tom Brady, and I think most of us have always known about Tom Brady, and that he's a self-righteous, selfish douche.
Wow.
Is that a fair description of him?
I mean, no? I guess you're going to prove it to us.
Oh, I'm going to prove it. And it's not me proving it. It's actually coming from the city of Philadelphia that's proving this. Because this is not something I would have picked up on. I want to be completely honest. And that is in this documentary that's on Apple TV Plus about the Patriots dynasty. Now, I've only gotten through a few episodes so far. It has been reported that this is basically a Bill Belichick hit piece. So... it feels like it's a Tom Brady production, that Tom Brady is coming across looking very good in this, and Bill is not.
Well, who produced it?
I forget the guy's name, but some guy who probably is kowtowing to Tom Brady is the way the perception has been. So they are playing a clip, just a very simple clip, of the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. Now, what I want to do, Tiki, is I want to play the actual clip. I want you to hear from when it happened, the Super Bowl, the Patriots against the Eagles, the Philly special, so you could hear the actual call that was made by Al Michaels, and then you could hear how it was changed in this Patriots documentary. So first, I present to you the actual call of the Philly special. Here's Al Michaels.
And they're going to snap it, and it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Foles, touchdown.
Not very basic to the point.
Yeah.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Here is the way
Trey
it was.
Burton caught Foles, touchdown.
Okay, you're good.
All right. It's simple, actually.
Very simple. Here's the way it was played on this Apple TV Plus Patriots documentary.
They're going to snap it, and it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Touchdown.
Wow.
All right. You notice the difference?
Yeah, there's no Foles in there.
There's no Foles in there. Huh.
What?
Huh. why would they edit out the name Foles? Huh.
I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you why.
I'm sure you're going to tell me, but why?
Because Tom Brady is a vengeful douche who lost to Nick Foles. And he doesn't want to hear Nick Foles' name. He doesn't want Nick Foles getting any credit. So other than, like, you can roll your eyes and say, oh, that's not the reason. What's the reason? They literally changed the touchdown call from Foles touchdown to touchdown.
It's not like it was long. Not like it was so expressive and, I don't know, convoluted that you couldn't follow it. It's one word.
So how do you explain it?
I can't explain it.
Huh.
I can't.
Tommy, you're a big Tom Brady guy. Yeah. You defend him at every turn. Go ahead. I'd love to see you try.
Well, clearly Nick Foles didn't grant permission for his name to be used in the documentary.
Oh, stop.
And that's why.
Stop
and so they had to edit it out because maybe he wanted a paycheck for it. I don't know that, but I can't imagine Tom Brady is that petty. First of all,
I can't either, man.
If anything, I could see him being like that with Eli, not with Nick Foles, whatever.
No, but no. I think with Eli, there's a respect. He's a great player. I think he views him as that.
So how did they address 7-11? Was Eli Manning's name prominent?
Well, Eli Manning wasn't deleted from the documentary. Nick Foles was. This has nothing to do with Eli Manning.
But was his touchdown pass to Plaxico Burress? Was that
the Tyree play, Manning to Tyree? Eli was not deleted. Remember, though, after both Super Bowl 42 and 46, Tom Brady shook Eli Manning's hand. He snubbed Nick Foles at the end of that Super Bowl and did not shake his hand. Yeah. That was a big deal.
Maybe he doesn't think Nick Foles washes his hands.
Stop it. There's a big difference.
Nick Foles is one of the most respected guys in the league.
Not by Tom Brady.
I'm just saying in general.
Okay. No. Listen, this is not a giant thing. Eli Manning did not disrespect the New York Giants. He did not. In fact, he showed them the proper respect. And as Sean pointed out, he's always shown respect to Eli Manning. He's made jokes about not being able to beat Eli Manning. But with Nick Foles, who he did not shake the hand of, with Nick Foles, why was Foles' name edited out of that touchdown clip?
If I had an excuse or a reason or an understanding, I would let you know. But I cannot think of one off the top of my head.
That's because the only reason is Tom Brady is a bitter B-I-T. You don't need me to spell the rest.
Right.
But that's what he is. And to the point where a perfectly good call by Al Michaels got edited because Tom Brady's vengeful. So to the city of Philadelphia, I'm with you. Like, I know you don't need me as an ally, I'm with you about this.
So are Philadelphia fans pissed off about this? Are they mad?
They're mocking
it. Are they even aware of it?
No, they are. They're the one that... I didn't figure this out on my own.
I thought you did.
The first to tell you. It was some random guy on Twitter from Philadelphia. And then Crossing Broad made a bigger deal out of it. They're the Philly website that's very excited about Spike Eskin hosting Afternoon Drive down there. What?
There's more to their rivalry on top of the handshake. When Tom Brady retired, I take you to February 1st, 2022, Nick Foles still kind of seeing this as kind of, he screwed me, tweeted out the picture of them shaking hands on media day the week of the Super Bowl, because that's the only picture they have like that, and said, "Much respect, Tom. Unbelievable career. Best of luck on your next chapter," and sent that picture out.
Huh.
So he kind of leaned
like
into
it. Like it was his lean in and troll job. Remember, Tom, I remember you didn't shake my hand, but here's when we did.
Interesting. Huh. Oh, I love this.
Maybe he just had a bad day.
Oh, stop.
Did he shake the opposing quarterback's hand in every Super Bowl?
I think that's the only handshake snub to this date.
Yeah, but it's not just
in every Super Bowl.
When the tradition started of quarterbacks shaking
hands.
He's
been to 11.
This is the only one I can remember.
All right, so we need to do some research.
No, but even that doesn't prove anything. He took him out of the documentary.
But it's not like he was in it. It just took his name out.
Yeah, they wouldn't give Foles the due he deserved for catching it. He caught the ball, dude. Like, remember the Philly special?
I do remember the Philly special. It's iconic.
It's iconic, right? It's an iconic moment in sports history. Even I would admit that. You would admit that. We don't like Philadelphia, but we're fair around here. We call like it is around here. Plus, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's the other thing. What?
I've already done the research. It's only happened one other time.
For Tom Brady.
In documented picture history. Not for Tom Brady. In Super Bowl history.
In Super Bowl history. Are you kidding?
It was 2 years ago. Jalen Hurts snubbed Patrick Mahomes.
Oh,
that's the only time the losing quarterback, snubbed the winning quarterback.
In documented history, this is what it says. Two times. Brady to Foles, Hurts to Mahomes.
Yeah, look, the Jalen Patrick Mahomes thing, I can't figure out. Maybe he's just, I don't know.
He was hurt.
But the Tom Brady thing is obvious, especially because he didn't snub Eli Manning. And in this documentary, he did the pettiest thing known to man. He told the director, cut out the name Foles. Unless the director comes out with a reasonable explanation for why Foles was cut out, and there is none, This is not WWE 2K24. And what I mean by that, I don't even know if you're aware of this, they have to block out, like not when you make things fuzzy, what's that called?
Yeah, you just like obscure it.
They're obscuring the face.
This is in a video game.
In a video game.
You like pixelate it so you can't see it.
Whenever they show video.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Videos of guys who are not in the video game.
Oh, I see.
They will pixelate Mean Gene Okerlund out of the game. They will pixelate the referee out of the game. And my son was even asking, what the hell are they doing? And I said, I guess they didn't give money to that person to be in the game.
Or didn't get their consent or whatever it may be.
Didn't get their consent, whatever the reason. This is not one of those cases. They don't need Nick Foles' consent for his name to be mentioned in the Philly special.
I doubt this is the case, but I'll just throw it out there. So there's this rumor going around about Nick Foles. He's got a certain nickname. He's got a huge hose. Perhaps, Tom Brady has penis envy. We've all been there.
That's bad too, bro.
No, I don't suggest it because I'm sure Brady's packing, but I mean, maybe that was a thing. You never know with these, Teak, you know the athletes, you know, they're locker room guys. Everybody has a little bit of an ego.
Yeah,
maybe
Big Richard Nick Foles.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a consent thing. That's my lean on this.
But why would Nick Foles not want his name a part of the greatest moment in his career?
But my point is he's being shown. So if Brady didn't want him on there, then just whitewash the whole thing. He's being shown.
You can't tell the story of that game and that season ending without the play being
shown.
But
you take Foles' name out of it. You know how the way the internet works. Someone's going to notice, like we did, like this website did. So you put yourself in a situation where now you have to hum and explain it. Why not just have the name in there?
Well, I think they're hoping that no one would pick up on it because it was simply a quick mention of
Foles. The internet picks up on everything.
I understand, but I don't know if the director or Nick Foles or Tom Brady will ever publicly comment on this. I am. I brought it up. It's noticeable. I mean, Tiki picked it up as soon as we played the two clips.
Yeah.
And it was really...
Because it was such a concise touchdown
there's
call.
There's no reason to take his name out other than Tom Brady being vengeful. That's it. That's the only thing I can come up with. And look, say what you want about Derek Jeter. Say what you want about him. Say whatever you want about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter would never scrub Luis Gonzalez from his documentary, and he didn't. He would never scrub the Red Sox coming back from 3-0 down from his documentary because he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Jeter don't roll like that. Derek Jeter is an incredible winner who I hate from a sports perspective. He ruined my life. Hear more about that in My Mets Bible on sale April 2nd. But Derek Jeter, say what you want about this guy, would never pull something as low, as small, as vengeful, as sad, and as petty as Tom Brady. Because that's what Tom Brady did. And I don't think there's any denying it. And I gave you a good couple of minutes, all of you, to come up with a reason. There is no reason. He's vengeful. He's jealous. He can't get over the fact that he lost the Super Bowl to a backup quarterback. Guess what? You did. Mm. And guess what? Nick Foles, well endowed. Live with it. Like, what is there to say?
Nothing. I find that so petty. It's like not even... It's not even plausible.
Oh, it's petty, but it's plausible. We're talking about Tom Brady, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Brady. Let's get back to your calls. There's a lot of angry people about the brackets that came out yesterday. Well, when you really think about it, St. John's didn't deserve to get in. Seton Hall's got a better case, no doubt about it. But St. John's really doesn't. Let's get to some of your calls, including Anthony in Bridgewater. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yo.
I'll be calling and complaining about the Mets in a couple of weeks, but I got to call and complain about this right now. How Seton Hall does not make the tournament. I don't want to hear about these net things and this and that and all this. Here's the deal. They say that UConn is the best team in America with their ranking.
Yep.
If you line up all the bubble teams, Seton Hall by far has the best win. They beat them.
Yep.
They beat them. To me, like the eye test is Colorado State beating UConn? Like, just you got to be realistic too. Like some of these bubble teams, no one's beating UConn. That to me is like times three, times four when you do that. Then I'll take it a step further. Then Seton Hall beat the number two seed that they ranked, Marquette. So to me, it makes no sense. I agree with you at St. John's. If you look at St. John's resume,
it's not that impressive.
To me, it's just like, nope. But Seton Hall?
Yeah.
Seton Hall has the best, you can make an argument, has one of the best wins in the country this year.
Well, I think they do have the best win in the country because the one thing everybody agrees about going into this tournament is that UConn is the team to beat, that UConn is the best team in the country. They are the one of ones. Well, UConn lost three times this season, and they lost their other two games to teams that are in the tournament.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And this is the way I've always looked at this when we get to Selection Sunday, because I'm not watching every game, especially this year. I laid out my resume. My resume has watched a handful of Seton Hall and St. John's games.
Yeah.
I look at who you beat and who you lost to, and Seton Hall does have the preeminent win that you would think Tiki would have buoyed their resume.
This is true, but what were their bad losses? Because something John said there was interesting when we had him on just a little bit ago, a little under an hour ago, was that one of the reasons he said Virginia and who are they playing? Colorado mm-hmm. got in, Colorado State got in, is because they didn't have those tier three losses.
Yeah,
they didn't have bad losses.
They lost to Rutgers. They lost to USC. They lost to Iowa. And, I hate to be a jerk, they lost to St. John's. Mm. I mean, if we're talking about the quote-unquote bad losses. But those are, look, I'm not going to lie. Those aren't great losses. I admit that. Losing to USC is not good. I get that. But they beat UConn.
Yeah.
They beat UConn. The problem is, here's what's tough to really cry about. I looked at the bottom teams that made it, like the last four in, and I did the same thing. I looked at their resume, because that's what I'm about. I'm a resume guy. I'm not looking at your net efficiency or this new stat they created 4 years ago because people were bitter with RPI. It's about who you beat. And like your school, I got to hand it to you, you're a Virginia guy.
Yeah.
Their resume was pretty impressive. They had a good resume.
It was, but they also, I mean, they literally got their doors blown off by Duke and Virginia Tech.
I understand. Is that disqualifying?
No, but they didn't lose to, like, I don't know. Think of a bad team. I can't think of one. William and Mary, if they have bad.
Rutgers. Just say Rutgers. Piss off the people listening.
Right. Yeah. They didn't lose to really, really bad teams, but they got blown out by some good teams.
Aaron Boone update for the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu, who had fouled a ball off his foot on Friday or Saturday, we have an update. He has a pretty significant bone bruise, according to Aaron Boone, and he is not sure if LeMahieu will, quote, have enough time to be ready for opening
day. Now, that's code for he's not playing opening day.
Bone bruises are difficult because sometimes bone bruise is actually a fracture. And so you don't want that. You don't want to believe that. But, I mean, foul ball off the top of your foot.
Look, there's nothing.
Just anything. It's like, what did he say about Aaron Judge? I'm done predicting when he's coming back.
Yeah, although he did predict today that he will play Wednesday night.
He went from, I'm not predicting, but hold on. I'm going to give you a prediction.
He's going to play Wednesday.
There's no one to be mad at because DJ literally fouled the ball off his foot.
Yeah.
And DJ's dealt with these medical issues for years, including a foot issue, if I'm not mistaken. But enough of this spring training.
Mm.
Like, put guys in, what's that called?
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap.
This is why NFL players hate the preseason.
No, I get you. So I'm thinking right now off the top of my head, if DJ LeMahieu is out and he's not available to play on opening day, are we talking about like Jorbit Vivas as the opening day third baseman?
So it's either going to be...
Or Oswaldo Cabrera. Those are the two guys that jump out of me.
One of those two. And isn't it Jorbit Vivas?
That's what I just said.
You call him Jorbit?
No, I said Jorbit. I would never say Jorbit. I am a Latino, as you know. I'm married into a
good
Latino
point.
Family.
Yeah.
I would never say that incorrectly.
I think you said Jorbit.
No, I said Jorbit.
Who's on first?
Is it a J or is it two L's?
It's a J, but you say it Jorbit. It's actually Jorbit Vivas, who is a left-hand hitting infielder. That's who you're looking at third base, right? I can't think of anybody else. It's Oswaldo Cabrera. And it's because it's not, forget Oswald Peraza. He's hurt, so you can put him away.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone for a few months. No, I know. They're ravaged by injuries. So you're looking at either Jorbit Vivas or Oswaldo Cabrera as your opening day third baseman if DJ LeMahieu is not ready to go. And Boone's saying that. I don't know if there'll be enough time. I'm going to do the tiki chair. That means he ain't going to be ready.
Yeah, he's not ready.
He's not ready.
If he was, he'd say, oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'd marginalize it. He's fine. He'll be back.
Or maybe Boone's learning his lesson, which is don't say everybody's going to be fine because nobody's fine.
That's true.
Sneaky feeling their opening day third baseman is going to be acquired this week.
Really?
What?
Yeah, this would not be the first. I'm trying to remember who it was last year, 2 years ago. The Yankees could swing one of these deals for... They need a utility guy with Peraza out anyway.
No, they were looking at Kiki Hernandez. They've looked at super utility reserve.
Yeah.
I got to think about who else is still a free agent. Because I'm trying to think of the list. We know Blake Snell. We know Jordan Montgomery. We know Michael Lorenzen. We know J.D. Martinez. And we know Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Tommy Pham is still available. I'm trying to think if there's like a middle infielder or third baseman that's still available in free agency that they could throw out there and play for a few weeks.
Honestly, because what we saw from Cabrera two seasons ago, where he played everywhere.
Yes.
Remember that when he first came up from the minors? He played everywhere.
Yeah.
And he was actually pretty good playing everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't mind if it's just Oswaldo Cabrera and you're not going to make some move that's going to be, I don't know, troublesome at some point down the line because DJ is not really that hurt.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this sounds, if it's really just a bone bruise, if you take the Yankees at their word, this is one of those annoying,
right,
he's not ready for opening day, but it doesn't sound like this is something where he's going to miss an extended period of time. It just sucks, man. Like, I am giddy for this baseball season. We are a week and a half away from the baseball season starting. And where I'm at with the Mets is the same place where everybody's at with the Yankees, which is, can you just get to opening day with no more injuries? We've all had the injuries. Like, obviously, the Yankees lost Gerrit Cole. The Mets lost Kodai Senga. We know about the questions around Aaron Judge. It's just, hey, can you get to the start of the season with guys, like, ready to go? That's all I have left in spring training. That's all I care about with spring training. Like, we're going to air a spring training game on Friday. Mets-Yankees, right here on this radio station. We're coming on right after.
Don't play anybody.
I'm going to score the game. I'm going to watch every inning. And let me tell you right now, I'm going to be watching just to make sure guys don't trip and fall and get hurt or pull a hamstring running to first base. I give permission for every Met and Yankee, do not run hard to first base, no matter how upset it makes Phil Mushnick. Because at the end of the day, no hamstrings.
No soft tissues.
No soft tissues.
By the way, last year, they got Frenchy Cordero the Monday before opening day and was on the opening day roster.
All right, so that's your basis.
I have a feel because they're already looking anyway. Now with the LeMahieu news, how could I not think that? By the way, Evan, you said you got Vivas' name right. How did you say you said it?
Jorbit Vivas.
Jury?
Are we talking about like Jorbit Vivas? Jorbit Vivas? Jorbit Vivas?
Hold on a second.
I love Bad Tiki, but Bad Tiki's opened up a world of AI, a world of maybe you stuck that in the Evan Roberts AI and got him to say Jorbit, because I wouldn't call him Jor, I would call him Jorbit.
Or maybe you just got it wrong and you were using that as an excuse.
So you're going to be an afternoon drive host that lies about things we caught you in.
Jorbit Vivas?
I don't remember that.
Oh, you know who's a free agent? I'm sorry.
Change the subject.
No, I got third baseman free agents for you. I'm looking out for you. Evan Longoria. Bang!
You know what I'm in.
Why not? For a couple of weeks?
Why?
It'd be like that time you guys had Troy Tulowitzki for a couple of weeks.
Stop your reactionist. We're going to go sign somebody because he has a bone bruise on the top of his foot?
No, but Tiki, this isn't a matter of me thinking LeMahieu's out long term. It's a matter of, I mean, Oswaldo Cabrera, we saw this last year. What if Cabrera goes down? They got nobody left. They were already looking for a utility guy.
Yeah, so we got Evan Longoria. We got Gene Segura. Gene Segura's still out there. He could play a little third base. We got Charlie Culberson. Yeah, that's pretty much the list. Oh, I got a guy.
Dude, you're making it sound like the Yankees are desperate for talent.
It's only because he brought it up. I don't think that should hit anybody.
It's almost pathetic what you guys are doing right now.
You know what they should totally do? You got to convince them retirement's not a great idea. But as John Rothstein said, retirement's just a word. What does it really mean? How about you call Josh Donaldson up and see if he's available?
I'm out on that. I'd rather a cardboard cutout play third base.
I'm just kidding. No, in all seriousness, Tiki, I agree with you. I think that bone bruise, you can get through it with Oswaldo Cabrera and Jorbit Vivas and see what you got. You never know. It sucks. Dude, the one thing about baseball and football, every sport, is we want to get to the start of the season with hope. That's all we want. We want to get there with hope. And even though DJ LeMahieu missing a week or two doesn't necessarily eradicate hope, it just sucks, man. You're excited for the start of the baseball season. You want to see the true blue Yankees opening day lineup. And in my mind, DJ LeMahieu was the leadoff hitter. That's how I'd line it up. So you're talking about completely changing the complexion of this lineup. Like, who's the leadoff hitter on opening day?
Aaron Judge. Oh, wait, he may not be ready.
Aaron Judge?
Stop. I guess it's Anthony Volpe now.
Nah, it's not Anthony. I know he's had a big stretch. See, I'd say Alex Verdugo, but against a lefty because they're facing Framber Valdez. Got to rule that out.
Soto.
Gleyber Torres. No, it's Gleyber Torres.
I was going to say Gleyber.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you go Gleyber 1, you go Soto 2, you go Judge 3. You go Rizzo 4.
See, to me, I know this is really nutsy, but I think now's the time you give Volpe off the hot spring a chance. He's going to bat ninth when LeMahieu comes back anyway, but if he hits it well enough, then he stays there forever.
Yeah, the only negative of that is, like, you're almost demoting him when you have to move him back.
Unless
and for a young player,
hit.
Yeah, well, if he hits, yeah, I mean, if he gets on base, listen, for a few days, it's not the worst.
He's not going to stay there. So, like, you're perceptually demoting him.
But if he's hot, Tiki, and it works, then you don't have to demote him.
Look, I'll give you this. Volpe's had a very good spring training. And if we're putting stock in spring training performances, you could absolutely reward him for that. There's nothing about last year that makes him a leadoff hitter. He's not there yet. Maybe someday, he's just not there yet. You got to get on base, you know, a little bit to be a leadoff hitter. But it does sound like they're talking about a smaller temporary thing with this DJ injury. Hopefully, he doesn't turn into anything big. And as far as Judge is concerned, look, I said this here last week. We're going to have to sweat through Aaron Judge every other day. Every other day, there's going to be something with Aaron Judge. And it's going to be a day-to-day proposition basically all season long.
Yeah, and it's a shame because 2 years ago, you just felt like, I can't wait to go see Aaron Judge. I can't wait to go see Aaron Judge. Now it's like, just don't get hurt.
By the way, speaking of Aaron Judge, quick question. I was thinking about this the other day. I was going through the Yankees giveaways because the Yankees have some really good giveaways this season, including the announcement that they're having a George Costanza giveaway, which we alluded to on Friday, as the traveling secretary of the New York Yankees. Brilliant idea. And I commend the Yankees for kind of moving away from their hoity-toity atmosphere or attitude and saying, hey, we can have some fun.
Assistant to the traveling secretary.
Isn't that what I said?
So you just call him the traveling secretary.
I think I said assistant to the traveling secretary.
How many times are you going to do this, man?
I'm playing with you. Now I'm kidding around. But Yankees may have a little bit of an issue.
Why?
The Aaron Judge 60-second home run bobblehead has a sponsor. It's got a sponsor. Okay. All these giveaways have sponsors,
okay,
right?
That would make sense to be associated with an iconic day in Yankee and MLB history.
You know what iconic company is sponsoring Aaron Judge 60-second home run bobblehead day?
Nope.
And we're going to run into a big issue because there's a chance that by the time this bobblehead is given away, that company will be banned in the United States of America. We're talking about TikTok.
Oh.
TikTok.
China got the bobblehead, too?
Well, I mean, they probably made it.
They probably paid every giveaway. TikTok presents the Aaron Judge 60-second home run bobblehead.
This is a story again?
Is what a story again?
TikTok getting banned.
It just got banned by the House. Now it's going to the Senate. You're not paying attention to this, Deke? I'm all over it.
This one I missed.
Yeah, people are flip-flopping because there's this one billionaire that's like paying politicians off saying, oh, you shouldn't ban TikTok. So now people who wanted TikTok banned are like, screw it. I love TikTok. It's amazing. But, yeah, no, the TikTok ban is still a thing.
All right. That'd be good for Triller.
What?
Never mind.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Andrew and Shirley. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, only been waiting for a little bit.
What's up, man?
Lugie apologizes. Sorry about
that. No, it's all good stuff. I do want to give a shout-out, though. I love all the producers on the station. I really do. Lugie's got to be number one.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to throw that out there, and it's not because I agree with every, you know, take he's ever had. You know, we like the same teams, but every time I call in, it's not, hey, who are you, where are you from, what do you want to talk about? It's, hey, Andrews, how's it going, as soon as I dial in.
That's a good job.
And nobody else does that. I love that.
And
good job by Lugauer.
And everybody could do that because we have, like, such advanced equipment that sometimes when you call in numerous times, we got your information. And so Al Dukes, who is a very unfriendly person, Al Dukes could do that in the morning. But he doesn't want to do it because he basically hates you, which he has said. He hates callers. Yes, yes.
That's what I gathered. But Lugie's every single time, whether I get on or not, he greets. So I like that. What I do want to say, can this is going all the way back a couple hours ago with the Giants. I'm in the Daniel Jones camp myself, and whether that means it's just this year or beyond, that's the bottom line. I'm in that camp. But what I see the Giants doing, I don't think they need to, one, trade up at all. I don't even think they need to stick at six. I think if there's some real interest with the Vikings wanting to move up, I really do think that that needs to be their dance partner and take those two picks. And I think with the multiple holes that there are, whether it's defense or even on offense, having those two first rounders should have big value, especially if you're not in love with any one particular guy in the draft at six.
I think that, and you tell me, T, because obviously when you fall in love with a guy, go draft him, don't overthink it. So it's more of a generality thing. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy is a guy they're linked to. But I love the idea that you could take advantage of a desperate quarterback-hungry team, move back only five slots, and set yourself up with even more draft capital that can help you build that ass.
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously an option, and you're right about falling in love with the player. And it's like people get this misconstrued sometimes because you could fall in love with a player and it just, he's not good, right? And so all of a sudden, it's like, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. But so much of it depends on, like, who's drafting that guy and how long that player is going to be there. And Justin Fields is the perfect example, right? Justin Fields, let's not forget, was drafted by the previous regime in Chicago. It was not Ryan Poles. Forget the general manager's name that drafted Justin Fields. But they were like on the hot seat, and they drafted a quarterback ostensibly to say, give us time to develop this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It didn't work. They all got fired. And so the new regime is now stuck with Justin Fields. Not stuck, but wait. Justin Fields is their guy. Eberflus and Ryan Poles. And it's like, all right, he's our guy, but we didn't love him.
Right.
Like, they might have loved him, or maybe they thought he was their savior, but we don't necessarily. And so, like, it's weird to draft a guy simply because you love him, especially if you're on the hot seat. Now, the Giants aren't in that. I don't think the Giants are in that situation.
No, yeah, I don't think they're on the hot seat.
If they draft a quarterback and they love him, it's the right kind of fit. But they have to love the guy. It can't be a reach for, maybe JJ's right.
Right.
But they can't reach. But I think if they do find one of these guys and they absolutely love them because it fits who they are and what they're trying to build and their image, then you can draft that guy. Otherwise, go with the surefire playmaker or a tackle or somebody who's more practical for what they actually need.
Josh is calling from Jackson, New Jersey. How you doing, Josh?
How's it going, Evan?
What's up?
Good. What's up, man?
Big fan. I just wanted to tell you, Evan, you know, I just in defense of Tom Brady, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I will come to defense of the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
That clip, that you played two clips.
Yes.
So the first clip you played was the clip from the Super Bowl. And the second clip, if you notice, besides the fact that the word fold is not in there, also the word caught is not in there. And that's because, not because they edited the clip in the documentary, it's because they made a separate video for the Eagles Super Bowl win where Al Michaels did the call over and cheesed it a bit.
So really?
Although maybe you could say it's petty that they didn't put in the one with fold,
the original.
They didn't edit anything.
So Al Michaels, well, walk me through this, because when I pulled this audio, I specifically went to, like, The Game from YouTube and then specifically Apple TV Plus. So there was no, like, hey, someone's screwing with you. I know that for sure. You're telling me that on the actual game call, Al Michaels doesn't say catch Nick Foles touchdown?
Yeah, listen to the two of them again. He doesn't say the word caught. He just says burning Foles touchdown. But in the other one, he says burning caught. He doesn't say Foles, but he didn't say caught in the first one either. Listen to it again. Run it back.
Well, what I want to do is find out on the original game call, what did Al Michaels say?
All right, so I'm confused on what did Al Michaels did another call?
That's what he's claiming, that Al Michaels re-recorded it for, like, the Eagles and the Eagles fans.
But here's the problem with what he's adding up.
Yeah.
He's saying in the second one that we pulled from the Dynasty, the word caught is in there, but not in the first one. So if it was made separate for the Eagles one, then that would be the one the Dynasty is using, then in which case they still edited Foles out.
No, oh, hold on. I got to have let's
That's just following. I'm going to go to the original game.
Hold on.
My point is his breadcrumbs don't add up either way.
Let's hear this again. Okay, so first, the Super Bowl call.
This is the one you pulled.
I pulled it from YouTube. Like, here is the it was highlights, so it wasn't the full game call,
mm-hmm.
but highlights. Here's the Philly special, as you could find on YouTube right now.
And they're going to snap it. And it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Foles, touchdown.
Trey Burton throws caught. Foles, touchdown.
Yes.
Okay, Trey Burton throws caught. Foles, touchdown. Here's from the Dynasty.
They're going to snap it. And it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Touchdown.
Wow. I'm confused now.
He says caught in both. I think the guy misheard.
Caught. Yeah, he says right. Caught in both.
There were six words in the first one. There was five in the second one. The one word that's missing is Foles.
Yeah. What we just got there was 4 minutes of completely wasted time by that guy not hearing.
Right.
Well, how do we save wasted time? I have an idea. We say hello to Ozzy and Woodridge. How you doing, Ozzy?
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
We're good, man.
Amazing.
How was the weekend? Same path.
You know what the weekend was? The weekend was, and I love it, no complaints. The weekend for me, for Tiki, for Sean, probably for you, Ozzy, when we're not working our real life, it's called dad duty. That's what the weekend is. It is, how do we make our kids happy?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things are fun for us, and some of those things are not fun for us. So I would say when me and Spence were running around playing basketball, it was a lot of fun.
Mm.
When Spence took a nap and then randomly woke up and started screaming and throwing everything around the house and then saying, and I quote, I don't love Dada. I don't love Mama.
Oh, wow.
That was not good. Now, nice. Luckily, he apologized, but it was very, very, very hurtful, Ozzy, I must say.
No, he probably had a bad dream, and so that can't hold that against the little guy.
I will not hold it against him. I love him dearly.
But you know.
So anyhow, how's it going?
My alarm just went off, so I had to set that off. But yeah, don't hold it against you, the little guy, Evan. Good luck with Tyron Smith, like you were talking with Aaron Judge.
Thank
day
you.
To day with the health. So
I get you. But hey, listen, man, don't be bitter. I understand he's missed a lot of time. But
why are you hating over there, Ozzy?
Because he's a Cowboy fan who's upset. And he lost an old pro left tackle.
But no, it's all good. But Evan, and I listen, man, I apologize, guys. I admittedly call in way too much. But every 5 seconds, this show gives me fodder. It looks like an AI being pixelated all over your face with your beard today. I'm trying to keep it G-rated because it's in the car.
That's a good choice really of not, a substitute but... word there.
No, Ozzy.
Great choice of a substitute word.
Ozzy, I will tell you that as soon as I put the beard dye on today, I tried to do green and white for the Jets because I'm in a very Jetsy mood. The white came out in a way in which it looks like something far different than my intention.
Yeah, it looks like Bad Tiki visited you instead of me.
Right. Enough over there.
Ozzy.
In your face. I admit, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But I also admit that in making this deal with you guys to get out of this beard, so basically the way this works.
You got a week left.
I got a week left. What I said was I won't cut my beard till Pete Alonso extends. I won't cut my hair till Pete Alonso extends. Then I saw him at Madison Square Garden. I got even more confident. My beard got involved. And I've had this beard since the middle of October. And I've had this hair since the middle of October. And you can see, look at the flip in the back.
Yeah, it's starting to get long in the back.
See that thing?
But not like egregiously long.
Egregious. It's growing at a slower pace.
It is.
So this beard's been growing and the hair's been growing for months and months and months. And finally, I cut a deal after I lost that pickleball game, which almost gave me a chance to get out of the beard. I cut a deal where for 3 weeks straight, and we are on week three, but 3 weeks straight, I'd have to color my beard every single day. And then after that, on Monday, a week from today, at this very moment, by the way, 4:30 Monday, a week from today, in this exact moment, we are going to have a ceremony to get rid of half my beard.
Thank God.
Thank God. I'm going to half shave, and that's the last part of my promise. It's the easiest part of the promise. I'll look like a fool for a few days, half shaven, and then it's over. So we have gotten to the finish line, but the one thing I've realized is 3 weeks of coloring my beard is way too long.
It's just a lot of work. By the way, you left out an integral middle step there.
Go ahead.
Losing that pickleball game allowed Sean to make a show decision. That decision that Sean made resulted an A-Rod day, and now there is a banner that hangs proudly from the WFAN Mike Francesa Studios. No one in the history of WFAN will wear 13 again, and if you do, you get fined.
That is true, and I'm staring at that banner right now. There so, yes, is. There have been far implications for this, but 1 week from today, at this moment, 4:30, Monday, March 25th, I have finally fulfilled my obligations, and I will shave half of my beard. Which is going to feel great because at least half of my face will get to be naked again.
Have you decided which half?
It's a great question. I have not decided. My gut feeling is to shave the left side.
It's going
to
be the current green side. You know why?
Why?
Why? Because when he's on SNY, his face is mostly towards me, and so it'll look like he has a beard.
I didn't even think about that. You think I think about this stuff? I literally didn't think about it until you asked the question, and I put my hand up and started rubbing the cat on my face, known as my beard, and I said, this side. I didn't even know it was green.
Right.
Because when I look at the screen, it's the complete opposite of what I feel.
You're right.
So I thought I was touching white, or whatever the hell that is,
right.
And I was actually touching green.
Right. So when you're talking to me, it'll just look like you still have a beard.
Interesting. All I know is a week from today, a ceremony to get rid of half my beard. I cannot wait. We'll come back with more of your calls. And right at 5 o'clock after Sean Cinco de 5-0, I have one major, major plea left for the New York Mets. And we'll get to that coming up at 5 o'clock. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We'll get to a plea I have for the Mets coming up at 5. Plus, Sean's got his Cinco de 5-0 list, his top 5 list. But Morash said about 20 minutes ago when we were talking about DJ LeMahieu's injury, it's a bone bruise, and he may not be ready for opening day, but he has a feeling the Yankees will go out and add somebody. So I was looking at the free agents. There's really not much out there still. Evan Longoria hasn't officially retired, I don't think. Gene Segura's out there. You could try to talk Josh Donaldson out of retirement. Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees, has a nice speculation idea. Gio Urshela, who signed with the Tigers, may not make the team. What? Yankees could bring in Gio. That's a bad, by the way, that's a perfect fit.
That's actually
sign me up. Sign me up.
That's a good backup player anyway. We saw he could play shortstop. He's a good defensive third baseman. Gio, at this point, a perfect kind of backup. And the Yankees could use a guy like that anyway.
Right.
So that actually makes a lot of sense.
And Sterling wouldn't have to come up with a new home run call.
That's right. What was his Gio Urshela home
run
call?
He's a nice fella.
Urshela's a nice fella. In 45 minutes, you'll get to hear another random John Sterling home run call. You hear it every day until opening day.
Was that an homage to something or just a rhyme?
So hold on a second. I know Sean's on the show to be the Yankee fan. You got it wrong. He's not a nice fella. He's the most happy fella.
That was it. He's a happy fella.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. You got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
And by the way, does John change it if the guy comes back? I know we were talking about that, but would he like spice it up a little bit? Or
nah,
could he go right
I think
back?
John would say, this is easy, man. I don't have to think of something new. It's not like Gio Urshela changed his name.
Right.
It's not like he got married and took his wife's name. Then it's a different story. But he hasn't done that. By the way, I've always thought about that. If I took my wife's name, Evan Rodriguez. He plays hockey in the NHL. That could have been me.
Seattle Kraken. Interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of last names, did you see the very inappropriate joke that was organized between two young rookies in the NBA, Grady Dick of the Toronto Raptors and Anthony Black of the Orlando Magic?
Yes.
They decided to do a jersey swap.
This went viral on social media.
And Anthony Black gave the jersey to Grady Dick. And so Grady Dick, who had Anthony Black's jersey, was standing on the left with the last name displayed, Black, because that's Anthony's last name.
Yes, the left, but to the right of their right.
Yeah, to their right. And then
our
to
left.
Our right, we then saw Anthony Black hold the last name of Grady Dick, because that's his last name, and held the jersey up. And these two guys, who are like 20 years old, let's not forget this, by the way, had the biggest grin on their face, which has led to a lot of inevitable questions, such as, will Nasir Little of the Phoenix Suns get in on the action?
When he plays.
And that was,
will they be swapping jerseys?
Yeah, will he get involved? I saw that suggested by Dolan J. Trump, a great follow on social media. Also, James Harden. Does James Harden get involved?
Whip out the jumbo pack
like with Grady Dick.
Are there possibilities that this could expand?
There are countless possibilities.
But Grady Dick's always going to be standing to the right.
Yeah, I think so in most cases, yeah. And by the way, both are rookies playing like 18 minutes a night. So these are not like two young stars that said, we have to exchange jerseys. Right. And what I'd love to know is, whose idea was it? Like, did Anthony Black say, hey. Yeah,
they straight-faced it too, by the way. They didn't.
Which is perfect.
Now, they had a grin, bro.
I mean, but they kind of
subtle grin.
It was a subtle grin.
Like, do you think?
Because I had no idea who they were, either one of them were. I was like, who are these two guys exchanging jerseys?
They're both underachieving rookies, basically.
Until the jerseys turned around.
Do you know, a speculation was who came up with it? Do you think it was Anthony Black, or do you think it was Grady Dick? Or do you think it was somebody else? I think someone else said, hey, I'll give you guys $100,000. You should pose with each other's jersey. Like, who came up with that? Because I commend them, by the way. I mean, very inappropriate and dirty and offensive, quite frankly.
Pornhub?
I'm going to say Grady Dick came up with it. As somebody with experience with an last name, something tells me it ain't the first time at some kind of level Grady Dick's done something like this.
Interesting.
Yeah, Black feels like a common last name.
Yes.
So you think it was Grady's idea?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to JJ in River Edge, New Jersey. How you doing, JJ?
Hey, how you guys doing? All right. I'm going to try to get in and out quick. It's been bugging me all day because on the previous shows, you know, I listen all day because I work from home.
Well, we all appreciate that here at WFAN. Thank you very much.
Well, no. I mean, I'm not trying to be like a wise guy, but like I listen all day. And you got all these guys calling in going, St. John's got ripped off and Seton Hall got ripped off and this and that. And generally, I kind of feel that way. I'm like, oh, this team got ripped off, whatever. But, like, the bottom line is they didn't play that great at the end. And then I got people calling in dissing my league, which is Mountain West. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, how does the Mountain West get six teams in, this, that, whatever. Well, they would have got five teams in, but New Mexico got on a run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about it is that Patino Jr., who runs New Mexico, he basically knocked his dad off.
Yes.
Right?
And Rick referred to that as being like a possibility, as he was still rooting for his son, but you're right about that, yeah.
And it's crazy. What's interesting about it is at one point, Leonardo or one of these guys, or Leonardi, whatever, they were like, you could have a number 11 against a number 11, and you could have dad against dad, or son against dad.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, like, because I'm a New Mexico fan. I'm like, obviously, right? Like, you can mm-hmm. tell that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want any piece of that. I don't want any piece of the old man taking down the boy. And right? So it was an interesting dynamic. But then to go further, like, they get no respect. This league in Mountain West, because I watch them. I know you guys don't watch them.
No. Right.
You could care less.
I could care less. Correct. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, but I watch them all the time because they're on FS1, and that's how I get my league. These Nevada, Utah State, Colorado State, they go at it, and I know they're not as sexy as like UConn. You know, like think Syracuse, like in their prime, or think. Like, think the Big East in their prime, the ACC, and they're not as sexy, but, like, they're like these big old boys.
Yeah, but JJ, I want to make you feel better with something. I understand your passion, and congratulations on your school making it. We are biased. Like, just naturally, we are biased. Now, I try not to be biased. I think we all try not to be biased, but it's difficult not to be.
Mm.
Because we don't care about Boise State and Nevada and San Diego State and New Mexico. And that's not a knock at your conference. It's just that most people, unless they're alums mm-hmm. or they're gamblers, are not watching.
By the way, people don't care about Virginia up here.
That's right.
So the only reason it gets talked about is because I went to UVA.
That's right.
So the bias is personal and or regional.
Yeah.
More specifically, regional.
But I think you have to understand that that's where the screaming and the crying and all that comes from. Now, I don't have a school I'm loyal to. I guess if I had to pick one, it's Seton Hall because I was going to go there. They're a local team, Big East and all that. But I think you can clearly hear my passion for Seton Hall while I root for them is far different than my passion for the Mets and the Jets and the Nets. So I try to look at this with a rational eye. And the one thing I could not understand, as great as it would be for this city, is how St. John's got screwed. Because I don't see how they got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I see a team that, you know, they finished strong. Good for them. Rick Pitino's turning the program around. That's awesome. Good for them. They're not a tournament team. Now, that doesn't mean I've sat there and watched New Mexico all day, but I don't think there was a conspiracy. I don't think it's we got to keep Rick Pitino down.
But why would there be a conspiracy? The only conspiracy would be we hate Rick Pitino and let's conspire to keep him out.
Well, the other conspiracy could be CBS wanting more teams from a conference that they have a TV deal with as opposed to Fox, but then that doesn't answer the Mountain West question because
right.
they have TV deal with Fox too.
Yeah, what is that I don't believe in conspiracies for the most part.
I believe
for the Montreal.
No, you don't believe. Well, you do believe. Yes, that's true. You do believe in a conspiracy.
The screw job.
I think that we in New York City, we're not a college sports town, but we thrive, and really hope that this could be the 80s again with St. John's. Mm. That's not something I experienced. Now, I experienced the late 90s. I once played baseball with Bootsy Thornton. True story. I went to North Woodmere Park on Long Island, and Bootsy Thornton was shooting hoops by himself.
Mm.
And my friend recognized him. He's like, holy crap, that's Bootsy Thornton, St. John's. I'm like, really? We need another guy to play baseball. Do you think he plays baseball? And we go over to Bootsy, and we're like, hey, Bootsy, you want to play some baseball? And he's like, yeah, okay. And he goes out there, and that's SOB, man. He was hitting the ball like 400 feet.
How big is he? Was he like
big compared to me?
Of course, but I mean, but like,
I think Bootsy was a point guard, so I think he was like 6'3", 6'4", which isn't that big, but big for
but
me.
But it's a good size.
I got to look it up now to confirm how tall Bootsy Thornton was. But yeah, you know, I was playing not basketball, I was playing baseball with Bootsy Thornton. How tall was he now? I was right that he was a guard. Let's see. He's 6'4". All right, so I got that right. But I think we really have this urge because we're not a college sports town.
Mm-mm.
We're just not. And we don't have a college football team, that's for sure. And the closest thing we have to a basketball that represents New York City is St. John's. And so it would be really cool, even I admit, if St. John's was a force.
Yeah, but the reality is it's going to happen. it's just going to take some time.
I agree with you.
Patino's got to get it right with the transfer portal. Yeah. He already got it, you know, somewhat right this season. It's just, it takes time. It's been a year. You can't expect that all of a sudden it's just going to be perfect all of a sudden.
But I think that's where the whole they got screwed idea came from. Because they really didn't
get screwed. Well, that's why we had John Rothstein on, because John knows it. He broke it down the only way you could. This is why they didn't.
Right.
They didn't have enough high-quality wins and had some losses that you scratch your head on.
And John said something that's similar to the dynamic we have in this town when it comes to Rangers Islanders, Rangers Devils, Knicks Nets. The team that really got screwed, but you don't want to talk about it as much, is Seton Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Seton Hall has the better case. But to our friend who's a Mountain West fan, enjoy the tournament. Have a good time. But that would have been pretty cool if it was Richard Pitino against Rick Pitino. That would have been fun. Dave is in Branford, Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Evan. I've got an answer to how you should cut your beer.
Go ahead. What? Go ahead.
I think you should cut the middle half. What?
The middle half.
Oh, so it's right up the middle.
I think the problem with cutting the middle, and I'd ask you guys to judge this, is then I don't look like the circus freak they want me to look like. Because if I cut the middle, then it would just look like I have this style going, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it looked like you have two lamb chops on each side of your face.
Which used to be a style.
Yeah. Which, by the way, would look ridiculous, but that's not the nature of what we're looking for. We want you basically to be a new modern-day version of Two-Face.
I understand. Look, I got to be honest with you.
Good call.
I don't care 1 week from today what part of my face is cut. All I know is that my face is desperate for freedom. My face is desperate to feel the sun again. To feel the touch of my wife again. Just to have the touch of me again. So I do not care what part of my face gets cut. All I know is I'm almost done. I am almost out of this. And I'm getting emotional just talking about it. This long national nightmare of having to grow an animal on my face.
National nightmare.
Dude, it's taking a lot out of me. So a week from today at 4:30, I may cry.
And you'll get Evan Roberts' sequel. You could preview and pre-order My Hair Bible Now. Comes out in 2027 as Evan details this long arrangement.
By the way, as I'm reading My Meds Bible for my audiobook, which I'll finish tonight, I've gotten emotional reading some of the chapters, man. I really have. Like that
shows it's from the heart.
That Johan chapter, man. Oh, my God.
On the one-hitter.
The one-hitter, right.
The no-hitter. this one really
killed me. Do you describe your emotion after the no-hitter?
I should read part of this to you.
Yeah.
It was a no-hitter, and I'm pretty angry in the book. Like,
why?
I was taking on critics.
Oh.
That's not really a no-hitter. Yeah. Sean read it already.
Yeah, it's spicy. It's just one of the spicier chapters I've read. And by the way, I've only read three chapters, but that one's spicy.
You only read three chapters?
So far, yeah. Evan, I'm lucky I can get through a sentence.
No, I'm kidding. What three chapters jumped out at you?
I did that. I did the very first chapter, where the book starts. And I skipped ahead to... Well, I skipped ahead was actually the second one I did. Now I'm drawing a blank.
Now let's address...
No, 06.
Oh, you went to game 7. Yeah. So you went to the losses. Son of a bitch.
Well, I had to go to where your heartstrings were.
Yeah, no, I'm angry. I'm reading what I wrote. Now let's address the elephant in the room. And I start, like, really getting at people. It's a real no-hitter. Haters are trying to mock us.
Okay, hold on.
Why I took time to address this right now was actually said on
time,
my part.
Time out. Have you read this for the audio? Yeah.
Yes.
You read that part.
I have passed that part.
How did you read that part?
Angry.
Yeah. Just like that?
I got into it, yeah.
You read it like that?
Yeah, I got into it.
Oh, that's dope.
That's good. Because that's the beauty of you doing your book. You read it with your own emotions.
Right. I read it emotionless?
Well, if somebody else was reading it, they would have.
Now let me get to the part that angers me. Johan pitched the no-hitter.
No, seriously. That's what would have happened. And it would have sounded crappy. No. So the fact that you did it justified, or at least I think... That's what I said was why you should do it.
No, I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did, too.
I have found the reading process very
therapeutic. You captured the emotion of words on ink on paper.
Yeah. The only thing I regret is I should have read through the entire book before it got published so I could have fixed the three mistakes that are in it.
I might be more inclined to get the audiobook now.
Why? Mm-hmm. To hear me read it?
Well, knowing that you're I think Tiki just sold it well.
Right.
To hear the emotion in your voice, it'll match what I'm reading.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, I hope people get both.
Both make great gifts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Father's Day's coming up. Opening Day's coming up. They both make wonderful
gifts. Buy the book. Get the audio. Yes. Do both.
Who needs a new driver?
Exactly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.